Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It's the 23rd of July, 2026, a Thursday. A district court judge has thrown out a state senator's guilty verdict less than 24 hours after it was spoken. Montana Public Radio's Clayton Murphy has more.
On Tuesday night, Hamilton Republican Senator Jason Ellsworth left the Lewis and Clark District Court guilty of official misconduct. The following morning, that ruling had been vacated. According to court documents, first reported by the Lee State News Bureau, the court inadvertently gave jurors a record of emails between Assistant Attorney General Dan Gazinski, who represented the state in this case, and Bryce Eggleston concerning scheduling his witness testimony, which never actually happened. Ellsworth was accused of using his access to Senate funds to privately award $170,000 in government contracts to Eggleston, a longtime friend, using a loophole to avoid a public bid. District Court Judge Christopher Abbott set a tentative retrial for December 14th. In Helena, I'm Clayton Murphy.
Plaintiffs in the youth-led climate case against the federal government are asking a court to rehear their case. Montana Public Radio's Keely Larson has the story.
Plaintiffs in the Lighthizer v. Trump climate lawsuit are asking the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider their case after it was dismissed last month. Filed by Our Children's Trust on behalf of the 22 youth plaintiffs, Lighthizer v. Trump made history in 2025 when these plaintiffs testified live in federal court. Young people, including from Montana, argued that the Trump administration's executive orders boosting fossil fuel development and removing climate science from government websites are harming their constitutional rights, including to life, health, and safety. The court dismissed the case, ruling the plaintiffs did not draw a strong enough link between the alleged harms and the executive orders. Plaintiffs outlined three alleged errors in the court's decision that they presented to a panel of judges and will now await their decision. In Missoula, I'm Keely Larson.
A couple of different areas in eastern and south-central Montana are limiting fire-starting activities to avoid the risk of wildfire. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Wednesday announced Richland County in northeastern Montana is under Stage 1 fire restrictions because of hot, dry weather. That means FWP is prohibiting smoking outside and campfires at its fishing and other recreational sites. But people can still cook using liquid petroleum gas or a propane stove. FWP put fire restrictions in place last week for Wheatland County in south-central Montana. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows that at the time, parts of Wheatland, Sweetgrass, Stillwater, and Golden Valley counties were in extreme drought. The restrictions are in place in both Richland and Wheatland counties until conditions improve. People can find the most up-to-date information about specific closures on Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website. A federal court has denied the U.S. government's request to pause a lawsuit over management of the American bison in Yellowstone National Park. A number of conservation groups say the feds have failed to use the best available science in what is America's national mammal. The government asked for the pause while it conducts additional analysis. A plan put in place more than two decades ago and updated in 2024 allows for the killing of bison roaming outside of Yellowstone, a result of fears those animals could transmit brucellosis, a bacterial infection to cattle, which could in turn be passed to humans. The conservationists point to research suggesting a number of cattle infections can be traced to wild elk, with no evidence infected bison have spread the illness. Plan backers have said it manages the spread of the illness among bison. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has issued more fishing restrictions on the state's rivers as water temperatures continue to rise and water flows drop. These hoot owl restrictions prohibit fishing from 2 p.m. to midnight. The rivers impacted are the Yellowstone, Big Hole, Madison, Shields, Smith, Upper Clark Fork, and Bitterroot. These restrictions began July 22nd. A complete list of current fishing closures and hoot owl restrictions can be found at fwp.mt.gov. The National Weather Service has put multiple counties in northeastern Montana under an extreme heat watch Friday through Sunday night. Weather officials warn of dangerously hot conditions with heat index values up to 101 possible. Heat-related illnesses increase significantly during extreme heat and high humidity events. They are reminding residents to drink plenty of fluids, stay in air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun, and check on relatives and neighbors. National parks will not reinstall signs the Trump administration deemed negative portrayals of U.S. history and ordered removed. As Jackson's KHOL Jenna McMurtry reports, a sign at Grand Teton about one of the national park's early settlers is not expected to return.
The now-removed sign had been below a statue of Gustavus Cheney Doan. Doan helped found Yellowstone, the country's first national park. But he also participated in the massacre of nearly 200 Blackfeet women and children. The sign prompted visitors to consider both sides of his legacy, including that he bragged about the massacre for the rest of his life. Park employees say it didn't meet the Trump administration's standards.
We were told to remove it as part of the compliance with the secretarial order. Mm-hmm. 3-4, 3-1.
The National Parks Conservation Association filed a lawsuit to force the reinstallation of the signs. A federal judge first ruled in their favor in June, but then a higher court dismissed the lawsuit on July 2nd. The parks don't have to return the signs and could remove more. For KHOL News, I'm Jenna McMurtry.
The Wyoming Game and Fish Department did not waver on its proposal to cut back on wolf hunting this fall. Last week, the commission voted to slash permits to half of last year. Hunting season for the apex predator begins October 1st. The state will dole out 22 permits in Wyoming's Trophy Game Zone, the northwest corner of the state. The move comes after the wolf population hit a 20-year low this winter. Only about a third of wolf pups on state-managed lands survived due to canine distemper, a measles-like disease. Less hunting could prop up the population. After counting 132 wolves this winter, the state is aiming to recover the population to its objective of 160 wolves and 10 breeding pairs. Newly released polling shows housing affordability is a major concern for voters in Montana's Congressional District 1. However, there is a gap between Republicans and Democrats on what to do about it. It's part of the survey of battleground districts conducted by the Program for Public Consultation between May 27th and June 23rd. Results show more than 8 in 10 voters in each party support tax incentives to build or repair homes for low- or middle-income households. Similar numbers also support the use of vouchers to help low- and middle-income families pay rent. However, when it comes to giving local governments billions of dollars to build affordable housing, Democrats showed strong support. A majority of Republicans were also in favor, but by a much slimmer margin. Some Montana nonprofits that rely on federal grants say they're not getting the funds they've already been awarded. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports the problem extends far beyond the Treasure State.
Wildlife experts say the most cost-effective way to prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species is through education and outreach. But those efforts have gotten much harder this year for the Invasive Species Action Network, a Livingston-based nonprofit. Executive Director Sarah Rickliffs says a large grant awarded by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service last fall hasn't come. She says their work educating boaters about how to prevent mussel infestations has been severely hampered.
But most importantly, the fact that these funds are delayed is just this potential impact to the waters of the West and Montana's waters.
Rickliffs says she's been told the grant, which accounts for a third of the network's budget, is hung up in a review process. Experts monitoring federal grants say that's a familiar story. Scott Delaney helps run Grant Witness, a nonprofit that started tracking the delays and cancellations after the Trump administration began making sweeping cuts last year. Now, Delaney says the administration is shifting focus.
In the place of the mass grant terminations are a set of policy changes that are far more pernicious. They're far more dangerous. They cause much more damage.
Grant Witness has documented more than $80 million in canceled or delayed federal grants to Montana, covering everything from disease research to climate resilience. Now the Federal Budget Office wants to allow political appointees to award or rescind grants based on political priorities. Adam Jesperson with the Montana Nonprofit Association says that could make his members' budgets wildly unpredictable.
It kind of adds this layer on top of everything across all agencies that has this definitely a political bent to it that we've never seen in the past.
30 Montana nonprofits signed on to a letter urging the Federal Budget Office to reject that change. If it moves ahead, the new grant-making rules would go into effect in October. Reporting in Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.